Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, I am introducing a new company to the show and a company outside of the resource sector. The company is called TraceSafe, traded on the CSE under the symbol TSF. I am chatting with the CEO, Wayne Lloyd. TraceSafe is a company that has actually been in operations for about a decade now, and it has been focused on ways to, I guess, track people, ways to make, and I know this has now come into favor through COVID, but just understand kind of the way that people interact with each other and especially who they come in contact with. Let's start off with a bit of the background of the company. As I said, started about a decade ago. How did TraceSafe come together, Wayne?
Sure. So it really started back in 2013. The TraceSafe team built what's an incredible IoT platform, really a foundational cloud SaaS product that was originally used in maternity wards for tracking infants. So, you know, the most vulnerable population on the earth. Basically, you're born and they want to make sure that, you know, when the baby is moving around the hospital for tests or transferring between wards, you know, that no mistakes are made, no babies are switched, all those sorts of considerations. So they built a wearable device that was virtually indistinguishable from a regular hospital tag or hospital wristband that you get, you know, going to any hospital. Just happens to have a lot of intelligence built into it. So Bluetooth chip, disposable battery and all these things. And that was, in operation in New Zealand for some time. And they were just going through an expansion process when COVID hit. And this product turned out to be a perfectly transplantable piece of equipment to what governments were struggling with, which was, you know, repatriating their citizens, particularly in the early days of the pandemic. The government of Hong Kong was trying to get its citizens back into the country, but it wanted to do so in a safe way to make sure that they controlled the spread. So they used the TraceSafe product to ensure that people were doing their home quarantine. And so that became effectively a breakout product and really, you know, widely used. They went into volume production, and that was really how the TraceSafe story started.
So Wayne, let's talk about the product offerings that the company has now, because it's more than just a one product company. I understand a few of these products are also still in development, but give us a bit of an understanding of the products offered right now.
Yeah. So in addition to all the stuff that we're doing with our government customers, we're also deeply still involved in healthcare, really actively involved in the enterprise space, as well as venue management and all these sorts of things. So, you know, it started out as a healthcare product. It went into this sort of COVID emergency timeframe. And now that's really helped us. You know, you get that wartime mentality of product development where you have total focus on, you know, performance, battery life, all these things that are mission critical. It really expands the product offering in the post-COVID world, because now we have a product that's cheaper, better performing than a lot of what's on the market, and it makes us much, much, much more competitive. So the product is broken into really two categories. One is all the wearable devices. The wearables, we're really famous for this wristband, but we build the wearables into, you know, native things. Like in the construction industry, we're working to build them into hard hats. In the cruise line industry, we're building sort of something that would fit onto a wristband or a lanyard or something like that, like an intelligent device that kind of looks like a poker chip. In, you know, some of our other kind of remote applications, we're doing long-lived products that have long-lived, like year-long plus battery life, but in a disposable form factor. So we're really tailoring, you know, we've got this foundational business with, you know, our core tech stack, a foundational cloud platform, and we build products to suit every industry. So that's the wearable side. We have gateways. The gateways are how we get the data from the wearable up into the cloud. And those are, we have LTE devices that are, you know, provisioned for cellular networks. Something you saw us doing at the World Junior Hockey Championship, which allowed us to get kind of a seamless multi-venue coverage from, you know, even on the shuttle buses that were going back and forth between the venues. So having that LTE gateways and is really something that's key to selling through the telco channels, because the telcos obviously want to have an increase in the number of SIM cards that are on their network. So that's a critical thing. And then there is a, so many different gateways. So that's how we get the data from the device to the cloud, because none of our devices really have GPS built into the device. Some are tethered to GPS, the quarantine and self-isolation stuff. But for the most part, when we talk about enterprise, venue, or even some of the medical settings, it's not a GPS enabled thing. So there's not really, it's not really tracking where you are precisely if you are outside of the venue. So this is like one of the ways that we address a lot of the privacy concerns, is that we don't have GPS on the device. If you're not at the place that you think you're, you should be having that location tracking on, if you leave that area, there's no way for the device to track your location. So it's sort of a sensible balance between, trying to get that information that's venue specific and having good accuracy there, but also being able to turn that off and not be a privacy invasion outside of the venue. So if we go to software, we have an iOS and Android app. These are used for administering the wearables to individuals and to set up all the gateways. And then we have, as I've said, a massive cloud platform. The cloud platform is really impressive. This is really something that's scaled up in a major way. We're tracking millions and millions of device interactions a day. And so really proud of the infrastructure the team has built there.
Wayne, let's talk about the revenue model for the company as well, because you do have these products, right? The wearables and also the gateways that you need to install. But you do also have that cloud platform where that is more of a recurring revenue model, more of a SaaS model. What's the balance here between revenue models for the company?
Yeah, so we originally started out effectively as a hardware company. We're really just selling these products, and we had software that supported that. And in the early days, that was appropriate, because it's really, a narrow product focus, and they just needed it to do the one thing. Now the product is really evolving and expanding, and customers want to do a lot more with these devices than they were originally intended. And so we're able to start charging now for that software on a recurring, ongoing basis. So you have an upfront cost in relation to the hardware itself, and that, the price considerations can vary from sort of, the $10 per unit all the way up to $100 per unit, depending on functionality and feature sets that you want included in the hardware. And then on an ongoing basis, you've got a SaaS revenue model. So this price range is sort of, $4 per user all the way down. If you get to the volume, major volume at, 10,000 plus users, which we do have customers that have 10,000 plus devices in single deployments, you're talking about, $2, as low as $2 per user. So just scales based on the size of the enterprise or the venue or what have you.
Now, what are some of the current revenues, either from the last quarter and also actually let's look ahead to some of the guidance that you are giving to investors?
Yeah, so we released our earnings for 2020, which is about $3.6 million. And 2020 was really a scale-up year for us. We're moving at 100% quarter-over-quarter revenue growth, basically since inception of being a public company. Now, going forward, we've really sort of taken this sort of November through February timeframe to really listen and pivot the product to all these new use cases. And, guidance wise, I see our growth trajectory continuing, but of course, I don't think we will be, I don't think any company is able to continue 100% quarter over quarter, but I think the a strong company is growing 100% year over year. And those are sort of the numbers and the quantum that we think is very realistic given our pipeline.
Okay, let's also talk about strategic partnerships. You've already mentioned the World Junior Hockey Championships, where some of your technology was deployed. What's crucial about strategic partnerships for the company, and what other companies are you guys working with that we would know?
So on the telco side, we've just announced, a new renewed kind of effort and focus with TELUS. So TELUS has been a great partner. We worked with them. They were the title sponsor of the World Junior Championships, and kind of were really happy to partner with TraceSafe to address, you know, kind of the health and safety component of the World Juniors there. And so TELUS is a huge name brand that people would know. Triton, although they're not as well known as a name brand, you know, they have a huge penetration, you know, sort of in the 90% range of the cruise ship industry, which is itself a massive multi-billion dollar industry. So we're the preferred vendor for all things kind of contact tracing, health and safety with Triton. And that relationship has been very, very helpful for us in winning some business with the cruise ship industry. So we've announced that we're on board Fred Olsen, which is a well-known large European carrier that we've just recently announced. And, you know, that Triton relationship is leading to many, many, many other relationships. In addition, we've been working with Ultimate Kronos Group. So they are, you know, the huge HR platform used by many, many Fortune 500 companies. So we're working with them. We've got HR integrations there. Things like time and attendance and stuff like that is our projects we're focused on there. I would say the other one is TTG. So TTG has been, you know, the organizer for many really famous sporting events, including the Olympics in 2010. They really work with all the national sporting bodies in Canada, and they've been really helpful in making some of those introductions into that world. But going forward, we're going to have a very focused channel strategy to grow this business inside of the key verticals that we see, you know, having a major impact to our revenues.
Now, what about some of these near-term growth avenues then? As you mentioned, the company is growing at a very impressive speed, but where are some of the near-term growth avenues?
So I think on the enterprise side, we're gaining huge traction. We've got, you know, we did a major chip manufacturing company that's a global Fortune 500 company that was 60,000 total headcount there, 40,000 full-time employees, 20,000 contractors, and that's, you know, across dozens of countries. So that's a huge corporate deployment that. And, you know, remember, you know, you get those deployments and you continue to make SaaS revenue off of that deployment on an ongoing basis. So it's really key to get out there. I think we are seeing the government sector become a little bit of a growth pusher now, because you're starting to see finally some of these countries effectively enact different regulations that incorporate the types of products we make sort of into that regulatory framework. So we're working on a lot of big, exciting opportunities in that space, in the government space. And then cruise ships and telcos continue to be very strong for us. So the cruise ship business is really just getting back to sailing. The European operators are first. They will be followed by the American operators, which are, you know, much, much bigger in many cases. And so we have, you know, we have a team in Miami that is working with some of those operators on a full-time basis. And, you know, we think the cruise ship business, not just for now, while there's CDC guidelines around contact tracing, but well into the future. These are multi-year technology agreements we're signing with the operators that really say, how does tech play a role in our business and the guest experience and everything going on there?
All right, Wayne, we're going to wrap it up here. A lot of information here from TraceSafe, but some very interesting recent news as well coming out of the company. So I will post a link to the company's website and a summary of the recent news. Wayne, we'll follow up with you in a couple weeks just to keep this story in front of our audience. And please, everyone, send me some questions that you have for Wayne regarding any of the aspects of TraceSafe, and I will get those answered for you. We'll spend some time diving into some of the other aspects of the company. Wayne, I appreciate the update. We'll chat again in another couple weeks. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Thanks. My pleasure. You too.